Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
CFP reaction, what really happened with Zeke Elliott, Babe Laufenberg to preview the Commanders. We got the payload at 6:40. The good news is we have RJ Choppy back. The bad news is under certain circumstances.
Oh, you'll do that right now, huh? Get that out of the way.
We don't have to. You make all the calls.
Oh, no. We can do that whatever you want to talk about.
We can go 7:40.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
We'll do it with Neighborhood Watch and New Year's Eve. Recap, what happened to your right eye? You got a little scratch there.
Here?
Yeah.
Oh, that's, I don't know. This has just been here. I don't know. It's it pops and comes and goes.
No dog? It's like a scratch.
It's one of those things where I sleep on it. I sometimes stomach sleep. And yeah, this is a stomach sleeper.
Okay.
It might go away, maybe not.
Here's my question for you, Sean. Have you ever looked forward less to doing a show that I'm on than the one today?
No.
No?
No, because y'all, yesterday I got a reminder of why I hate a lot of Longhorn fans. Ooh, yeah. It was a true reminder.
Jealousy's such a bad look.
Well, because you, hopefully, the unlikability comparison between the Longhorns and Ryan Day, I don't know which one to pick, but I'm leaning Ryan Day for this weekend. I hope y'all get ducked. I hope they mother duck y'all. I can't wait for Texas to get beat down and get wiped out of this thing. Let's get right to it.
Ready to take the snap. Has the snap. 4th and 13. Ewers looking. Fires. He's got Golden open. He caught it. Touchdown, Texas. Matthew Golden strikes again. 28 yards on 4th down and 13. And the Longhorns score a touchdown.
Maybe the least amount of pressure ever brought with an outright zero blitz as Quinn Ewers.
That's a great point.
Right?
They didn't even crack the line of scrimmage.
Holy mackerel.
Just, what are you doing?
I'm like, okay, this is like a 4th down at the end of the game in a prevent. Are you just going to like rush two, or are you going to bring and create some pressure? They tried to bring the pressure. Game tying touchdown on Longhorns Radio as Texas ends up winning an all-time great game. Wow.
Wow is right. It like that we play to the sticks, man. What are you doing? Get a coverage sack for crying out loud. You have an undersized defensive line going up against a really talented offensive line. Regardless of what the line did at points in the game, how many pros do they have in that line? 3?
Oh, yeah.
4?
I mean, yeah, they looked like pros the way they were false starting all game.
Right.
So.
But, like, talent-wise, like, yes. they have a lot of 4- and 5-star players on that offensive. That's one of the best lines in the sport. And you got literally zero pressure on a zero blitz. I mean, that's really what the name was. It was zero. You got zero pressure.
A 24-8 lead completely erased in the fourth quarter. Cam Scataboo getting all his glory nationally. And Bobby and Peyton are celebrating as Longhorn fans. Take it away, Bob.
Yeah, look, this is they were not great yesterday. This is actually, you know what this was? This was fitting because this Super Bowl, I believe, was played in Tempe, Arizona. This is Super Bowl 30. This is the Cowboys' last Super Bowl where Pittsburgh did everything right and completely outplayed Dallas and was better prepared than Dallas. And it didn't matter because Dallas was so much better and so much more talented. They just showed up and they flipped a switch and they won the Super Bowl. And that's what Texas did yesterday. They went 4th and 13. All right, fine. I guess now we'll flip the switch and we'll turn it on and we'll beat you guys and we'll send you back home. And bye-bye, the end. See ya, because that's how talented Texas is.
Yeah, the reason I'm not dreading this so much of Bobby is because I already know deep down how he feels about the Longhorns. He doesn't have all this arrogance and all this cockiness and confidence, which will play out over the rest of the show and tomorrow.
But yeah, I'm picking Ohio State.
Nick Saban at halftime, Choppy. He said Arizona State's playing as well or better than the Longhorns. Texas is just making the more explosive plays. I didn't get that sense.
Well, no, but the
it's like Micah Parsons. You know, just take away all the big plays, and they're pretty even.
Now, Texas was up 14-3,
yeah,
and they had run 2 offensive plays. Right? They had the two, the first two plays, they scored. They had a 55-yard pass and like a 25-yard pass. They scored. That's seven.
And then
the punt return. Yeah. So now you're at 14-3, and they had run two offensive plays. So, like, yeah, they did not have to do long, sustained drives to assert their dominance and score. Because, like, you know, we were mid-fourth quarter, and Scataboo had more yards than the Longhorns did. He had more total yards than the Longhorns did. But
And vomits,
too. But, yeah, I mean, I didn't notice it, but, you know, that's the coaching, the way coaches see games versus fans.
Did you feel like that in the first half?
Yeah, like, I mean, yeah, I felt like, I didn't feel like it was, like, overwhelming, but I felt like overall Arizona State had played better, probably.
Okay.
Specifically, then once you got into the third quarter. This is just, it's a volume thing. Like, look, these are some of the insane numbers that came out of yesterday. Total plays. Texas had 60. Arizona State had 97. Total
field forever, yeah.
Total third and fourth down attempts. Texas had 15. Arizona State had 30 attempts on third and fourth down, which is nuts. Time of possession. Texas 22 minutes and 6 seconds. Arizona State 37 minutes and 54 seconds. It just was this, like Texas wasn't touching the ball. And when they would touch the ball, they would do some dumb things. And they had a dumb kicker. Yesterday, if they would have lost this game, it would have been probably Auburn, Sark, Ewers in that order in terms of who I'm just blaming this game on.
Let's talk about the call and the controversy. The number one storyline from this game was
the suplex.
Getting carried into the end zone, which was also illegal. Third and five, 1:03 left, head-to-head shot. Arizona State player looked to be knocked out, laying straight there on the ground. They go to the review. No targeting called. What do you think and where do you stand on the Franklin Franco injury attorney text line at 877-881-1053?
We got to weigh intent versus reality too with this. I mean, it's pretty clear it was helmet to helmet.
Yeah.
But I guess the targeting aspect is, did he lead with his helmet?
Here are the criteria under targeting, the criteria for targeting. You have to have an indicator of it, which would mean either you left your feet, did you crouch and thrust, kind of meaning like you're trying to launch up, striking and lowering the head.
So he didn't thrust, he didn't crouch, he didn't leave his feet. It was head to head.
Yeah. The leading with the head is the only one,
right,
I think, that matters here.
And that's the thing. You have to, the NCAA has got to do a better job of, like, okay, well, this is how the rule spelled it. Okay, but what do those specific words mean? Like, what does forcible contact mean? Forcible contact's been a big sentence in this rule lately because it used to be initiate. The line in that rule used to be initiate head-to-head contact or whatever it was. They changed it to, it used to say, no player shall target and initiate to the head, or make initiate contact to the head or neck area, blah, blah, blah. Now it's, and make forcible contact to that. And the reason why they switched that is because they said they wanted more clarity on intent being the issue. Because initiate sounds like that could have just happened. Where they say forcible contact, you are looking to use your helmet to make the play. And I think when you watch that play back, you can say that player is not looking to use his helmet to make the play. He's trying to wrap him up. In the process of that, his head ducks a little bit, but it's not a complete lowering of the crown of the helmet the way the definite. And they've got it spelled out. They've got that spelled out. The crown of the helmet is a 6-inch circle starting from the very top here, and that part of the helmet does not ever get lowered.
Bill Lemonnier, who is a rules expert.
Good band.
Right. Says it was a defenseless player. There was an upwards thrust indicator, forcible contact. It's targeting. The only one that I've seen not call it targeting is Doug Gottlieb. So if you want to die on that hill, Bob.
Here's what this is.
Look, I'll be completely honest about everything. I'll be honest because we'd never like to admit when we're wrong. In the moment, watching it, 1,000% like targeting helmet to helmet in my mind. When the rules come out, I think we all got a little bit of an education. Oh, okay. It's not just strictly helmet to helmet, flag, penalty in college.
Right, because helmet to helmet could be you're allowed like a grace.
Yeah.
You know.
If you take the exact rules, which we should be doing here, and apply that letter of the law to this, you can definitely make the case a flag should not be thrown. If you go back and review the rules, you can say, all right, I get it, that was not targeting. Where I end up on this is Dez catch vibes.
Yeah.
That's what this was for me.
Yeah,
in the moment, like, we all know that's a penalty. Like, that's a penalty. Not that he should be ejected. I didn't care about the ejection.
Nah, all he shouldn't have been ejected.
All I cared about was the first down.
Right, that's it.
Arizona State, because of that play, to the common sense, to your eyes, just like the Dez catch, that was a catch. All right, that was a catch. But then when you really break down the letter of the law, it was not a catch. When you break down the letter of this law, in my opinion, fair as F, the most objective person in the Metroplex, you could say it was not targeting, and you could say it was not a flag. I just think from a common sense standpoint, that has to be a flag, right? Arizona State first down. But technically, you could say it's not targeting. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Was it targeting? If this was the second quarter, is it targeting?
I don't know. Then you have the defensive player aspect into
but
this.
But the defensive player is one of the two factors that a lot of times has to be involved.
Right.
Like the rule is spelled out as there's two factors that they look for. And targeting is a different thing when the player's defenseless versus when it's defenseless. A couple of the markers go down, but they still need the launch and they need those sort of things in there. To me, I look at that and I go, there's nothing dirty about the play. There's nothing looking to injure a player on the play. He's got his arms where he's wrapping. He's trying to make a wrap up. It's just
the only problem with this is the leading with the head. And I don't think he totally led with the head. Was there an opportunity for him to get the head up a little bit or get the head out of the way where it wasn't clearly the first thing that made contact? Because it was straight helmet to helmet.
Straight helmet to helmet.
That is a cringe-worthy play where you're watching and you're like, oh my God, that should be lower on the body with the tackle. How much of an opportunity, though, did the defender have with the time and the space in order to go lower?
It happens so fast. That's the thing. I think this is, again, one of those instances where when you have the ability to slow something down and can, like, here's a screenshot from the moment where the helmet's there, it looks so much worse than speed in the moment. It's much quicker than that.
We've seen this called targeting a million times. We've seen it not called. That's the unfortunate thing about this rule is that it's very, very subjective.
The consistency.
There's no consistency in the targeting. Because I've seen far less be called for targeting with ejections.
I didn't have any doubt this was going to get overturned because this is basically the same play they called targeting in the Texas A&M game. It was flagged for targeting and they went to the replay official and then they overturned it because they said no, because he didn't, like, there was a helmet contact, but it wasn't these markers. And so I remember thinking at the time in Texas A&M, that's not targeting, but they're going to call this because that's what they call in college football. And then they went back to the replay official, they turned it over and said no, because it didn't have these markers.
Pepe, the honest journalist here on the home of the Dallas Cowboys, what did you think?
Targeting, no. It shouldn't have been targeting. Now, what we've seen in past, though, is they throw the flag for targeting and they review it and they say, okay, there's no targeting, but there's personal foul helmet to helmet. That's what, in my unbiased opinion, that's what should have happened.
Personal foul.
But I don't think you can review it for targeting and then go, well, let's just call a penalty here for helmet to helmet. They should have called it originally and then gone to review it for targeting.
Yeah, I just thought it was a personal foul.
That's what I thought.
I thought it was a personal foul, which is all that mattered to Arizona State within that moment of the game, is getting the first down with a minute left, game-winning field goal attempt.
Yeah, I don't know what they could have called there. I thought the same thing.
If you do, we need to double check that. If you do review for targeting, can you, like, is that play even personal foul possible? Because when I'm looking up helmet-to-helmet in college, it's saying, no, it's not a definite helmet-to-helmet flag in the college game. And then if you're just reviewing it for targeting, can you add? It's like reviewing a hold, saw someone with an illegal contact. Can you throw that illegal contact? And then you throw in Longhorn fans all day, all night long. Well, that makes up for the OPI on Scataboo. DeMarvion Overshown and others with the long completion, the big shot in the middle of the field said, how is that not targeting? Right. So everything else got thrown into the mix.
Yeah, and so Followell yesterday had – Mark Followell has obviously called college football games. And his perspective on it was, he said, by the way, if the replay official ever gets a chance to explain the Texas ASU targeting review, I would assume they said no launch, no crouch, and upward thrust, no lowering the head. Basically, none of the indicators that we were told in the preseason by college football broadcasters were told in meetings with officials that they're supposed to look for in these rules. So Falwell had said that, essentially, I don't think this meets the criteria based on all the rules, but they've got to come out and explain it. They've got to tell people that because they're awful at explaining these things.
They're trying to be like the NFL. The NFL don't explain anything, right? They don't have to. Yeah. College football is trying to be the same thing.
I think in the moment of that game, those broadcasters didn't want to have this be the storyline or controversy. But there it is, an all-time game to remember as the Texas Longhorns move on to face Ohio State, which allowed you to go to bed early with what they did to Oregon. And then, of course, as a result of the tragedy in New Orleans, we are going to get the Sugar Bowl played today at 3 o'clock between Georgia and Notre Dame. Entire squad back together. Good to have that. Good to have you with us as we head you into the weekend as quickly as possible. What really happened with Zeke Elliott leaving the Cowboys again? Inside the Star is next.